talking a lot about the data dump on the case of Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt, and we're going to continue talking about that right now, specifically about Kevin Frankie. Recent disclosures from an interview with Kevin, the estranged husband of Ruby Frankie, have unveiled a lot of distressing insights into the atmosphere within their household. And might I say, follow us on our social media channels, because all this week I have broken down Kevin's interview with police into a lot of segments. If you want to check that out and see what those are all about, you can follow us on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok. Just search Hidden Killers Podcast on any of those, and you'll find that, as we're going to continue to drop those throughout the week. They are bizarre as shit.
Oh my God. There is a lot going on with this family.
Yes. The revelations come in the wake of Ruby's arrest on child abuse charges, shedding light on the restrictive dynamics and concerning behavior that characterized their domestic life. During the interview with authorities following Ruby's arrest, Kevin Frankie provided a candid account of the stringent rules imposed upon him while he and Ruby were living together. He detailed how Ruby's business partner, Jody Hildebrandt, moved into their home, prompting a series of restrictions that significantly impact Kevin's autonomy, saying, "I couldn't come into the kitchen to eat until Ruby gave me permission," Kevin revealed, emphasizing the extent to which Ruby controlled their interactions. Moreover, Kevin recounted Ruby's involvement with a group called Connections, which he characterized as a religious cult. That's Jody's thing. He described how Ruby's behavior underwent a drastic transformation, alleging that she claimed to communicate with divine entities and experience trances. What I find interesting about a lot of this, as we continue on talking about it, is within the Mormon church, and I'm not saying this is right, so don't take me wrong here, and I know you're not, but I'm saying the audience, is within the Mormon church, males have all the power. There are no females in high positions within the Mormon church. Everything is very, very, I don't know, chauvinistic is the right word, but it's very male-dominated or just restricted completely. The men have the power. They are to be listened to. They're to be obeyed. They are the head of the household. They are all that. Again, I am not, because everybody misconstrues everything, I am not saying that that is right. I am telling you that is how they work. So to have this dynamic within a family that claims to be a very, very devout Mormon family is rather bizarre, because it goes against their belief system. It goes against how they think, how they operate. It's just weird. Kevin says, quote, "The upstairs where Jody was completely offline. I couldn't go upstairs anymore in my house," Kevin lamented, underscoring the unsettling nature of the environment. The dire situation escalated when both Ruby and Jody were arrested for child abuse after Ruby's son sought assistance from a neighbor. Subsequent investigations revealed two emaciated children in Ruby's home, leading to legal action against Ruby and Jody. Both individuals pled guilty to four counts of child abuse, resulting in the imposition of a maximum sentence of 30 years each in prison. It should have been 60, by the way, but because it's Utah and everything's Mormon and fucked up, the limit is 30 on something like this, because I'm guessing somebody along the line said, we do a lot of fucked up shit. We should probably find some sort of caveat so we can maybe lower this down a little bit.
Well, they probably didn't have room.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, throughout the legal proceedings, Ruby expressed remorse for her actions, extending apologies to her husband and children for the turmoil that they endured. "For the past 4 years, I've chosen to follow counsel and guidance that has led me to a dark delusion," Ruby lamented during her sentence hearing. "To my babies, you are part of me. I believed dark was light and right was wrong. I would do anything in this world for you. I took from you all that was soft and safe and good." Notice how I could easily crack my voice there and make myself sound like I was serious.
Or possessed.
That's what these fuckers do. The release of the interview footage is out there now. We have, like I said, a lot of it posted on our YouTube channels, as well as on social media. If you want to subject yourself to all of that.
Well, and speaking of subjecting yourself, I this didn't make it into the story, and I think it was really important. So that's on me. So I want to read it. This is from Kevin Frankie. He witnessed Hildebrandt at times going into possession mode and speaking in different voices. He said it was really creepy. The voices would say, "She's ours. We're not letting go. She is Satan's bride." What?
Yeah.
What? Oh, okay. Well, dude, and, put the joint down.
Well, and to add to that, I'd love to know what fucking joint that is, because that might be kind of fun in a controlled environment. Because I'm like, I legally use, because I can legally use in my state. And I'll tell you what, it just makes me sleepy and I end up eating chicken nuggets late at night. That's all that that shit does to me.
So you're not like seeing things fly off the shelves?
No,
you're
not seeing footprints like
going up the walls?
That might be fun sometimes.
Well, that's a different, actually,
I don't do
probably
that.
Not a joint at some other time.
I don't do that stuff. I just do the legal weed. That to me, it's like one of those where people like describe, it's like, and weed, like, no, weed could not do that. Like, unless it's laced with something. But he also said, to add to that, "I can't explain some of the stuff that happened while we were there," he said, describing actually seeing plates fly off the shelves in the kitchen at full speed, smashing against the wall, as well as hearing crashing sounds from the basement while they were upstairs. Kevin said that he and his wife enlisted the aid of a bishop to help them cast the demons out and fight any evil spirits around Jody in her home, saying that this happened for hours every night. But when that didn't seem to be helping, the idea suddenly for Jody to move into Frankie's house came up.
Okay. You and I have talked off air about how my house has moments of haunting. Yeah. And the previous owner of this home passed away a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I've had some things here I can't explain. I've had witnesses to the things we can't explain. My cats have watched something walk across the room. Like, both cats, their heads are moving at exactly the same time as they're watching something go across the room. Mm-hmm. So I've on occasion seen some weird shit in my house, but it's not every night. Does that really happen? I mean, you're kind of the expert in ghosts. Is it an every night thing, or is it
occasional? No, I don't. I mean, it really depends. I mean, obviously, there's another podcast I have about ghost stories, but I don't know. I've become far more of a skeptic in the last couple of years than I had been earlier. Is there weird stuff that happens out there in this world? Yeah, there is. There's far too many experiences that people have to say that there's nothing to it. Now, do I believe Ruby Frankie and Kevin Frankie on their weird story of plates flying across the room and people being possessed? Not really. But if you also were to look at it from the perspective and you really kind of subscribe to all that stuff, these people were doing evil shit. I mean, they were doing really dark, evil shit. So if you were to go, this is an environment that is infested with negativity and really horrible, horrible behavior, one could see how maybe there was something else going on here that was also, at the end of the day, I don't buy it. I think it's mental illness and personality disorders and really fucked up human beings doing horrible things. And until I see video of plates flying across the house, I'm not going to believe a goddamn word these fuckers say.
Yeah.
But could one go, there's a lot of evilness here going on. Could that manifest in something? I don't know. I've heard of it before. I've seen it before. Is it common? Not at all. Do people think these things are common? If you watch like Ghost Adventures and shit, yes, they do.
Yeah.
But I do not believe it's anywhere near that level. Do I think there's weird things that can happen and there's things we don't understand? Yes, I do. But I'm not going to profess to explain any of it because I have no freaking idea. But I do think that there can be things like that. And do I think these people like encapsulate what evil is? Yes. Do I believe they're possessed by the devil? No.
Yeah, I think a lot of what they thought they saw might have been hallucinations and some outbranching of mental illness. I mean, because how could you do what you did to your kids if you're not mentally ill?
Oh, exactly.
A mentally sound person wouldn't do this.
No. And at the end of the day, that's what a lot of this is. A lot of times it becomes an excuse or, it's the devil made me do it shit. And that's what Ruby is trying to basically profess now that she's been caught. Initially, when she was arrested, if you listen to some of those tapes, and again, they're out there on our social media, search Hidden Killers Podcast on any social media platform. You will find us there and press subscribe because we're putting all these out there. But does she believe that these things were somehow supernaturally related? I believe she does. But really, it's mental illness. She got caught, and now she has to shift her brain in another direction to survive. So you can't keep going down that same road. I mean, whether it's demons or whether it's just really shitty behavior to somebody, that's what people do when they get put into that sort of a corner. If they're like a malignant narcissist that has no empathy for anybody else. And I think that's what we're dealing with here. I think we're probably at the end of the day dealing with somebody with a cluster B personality disorder, whether that be borderline or histrionic or one of the others, that is just going to keep molding themselves to whatever they need to do to survive because they can't ever quite grasp the reality of what they're doing. Now, Jody, on the other hand, I think is more sociopathic or psychotic when you look at her presentation. If you listen to those calls with her, she's so steeped in religion and so steeped in scripture and so steeped in what she believes is happening. She is not in any way in touch with reality. I think Ruby hits reality every now and then and has little glimpses of it, or maybe more glimpses of it now that she's out of Jody's. But I think Jody is certifiably psychotic or sociopathic without a doubt.
And the two of them as a combination,
yes,
doing counseling and counseling people on their marriages and their families, just really destructive. I'm so sad for the people that were affected. I mean, not just their kids, but there are people in the community affected by these two that trusted them.
Yeah. Yeah, people trust it. I mean, the fact that Kevin, and I can't quite reconcile Kevin either, because it's like there was no legal restriction preventing you from seeing your kids. You literally sat there at the whim of Jody Hildebrandt of seeing your children, your minor children or not, and your wife. I mean, after they're saying all these crazy things and cutting you off, that's where legal recourse comes in. And that's where you as a parent have to go and say, there's something seriously wrong. And he could have won that easily. He could have easily have stepped in and said, these people are off their fucking rockers. Look, here's all my evidence. And if you don't have it, bait him into it, get him, send an email, do something, get evidence of what the fuck they're saying and doing. And you could have rescued your children. You chose not to. Whether you believed their shit or not, I don't know. But I think he did subscribe to it for quite a while because he became kind of their resident exorcist, as he says, for a little while within the confines of this, but then eventually kind of gets pushed out. So at the end of the day, Kevin's just a weak, shitty human being that didn't stand up as being a father.
Yeah, I wonder if he was badgered so much, though, that he was beaten down as well. And I hate to come to the...
I don't fucking care. When you have kids, fuck that. I just don't buy that argument for one second. Yes, you can be badgered, you can be pressured, you can do this and that. But he was cut off from them. I understand that more when you're in the actual dynamic of the relationship and you're seeing them every single day and you're in your home and you get beat down and shit like that. I've been in that situation before, but I don't get where it gets to the point of they're cutting you off. They're taking the kids and you're just like, okay, no, grow the fuck up. I mean, for the love of God, I mean, people can be in abusive situations and not realize it until it's late. But if they're doing this to you, you are actively choosing not to be involved, but knowing that it's wrong. and not standing up for your kids. And at the end of the day, that's all that fucking matters. Nothing in this life matters more than you taking care of your children. There should be no other priority greater than that. And Kevin failed at it miserably.
100%.
So, fuck him. I just don't have much pity for him at all. I think he's a weak, horrible human being that doesn't deserve to have his kids back. I think in most cases, this being one of them, the kids are better off pretty much in any environment other than any of the Frankies that raised them. And it's interesting, too, when you listen to some of the phone conversations, I think there's one that's with Ruby and her parents. That's at least what I gleaned off of it. And she's talking about how all of her sisters are against her. They're all ganging up on her. It's like, they're not ganging up on you. They just have common sense and they know you're insane. Mm-hmm. And they don't want anything to do with you because you're nuts. And they want to protect their families from you because you're fucking nuts. It's not ganging up on you. I don't know. Both of them really, there's really no purpose for continued existence, but that's not how we do things here. So...
No, I completely understand, and I get where your anger is coming from. I just think there's a huge dynamic in this family that here are these two women that just wielded so much power and control for some reason that people around them were terrified. I mean, why didn't the kids revolt? And I'm not victim blaming, oh my God, but this abuse happened. So they were beaten down mentally. Mm-hmm. So they just kind of gave in and let it happen. And again, not victim shaming. These are kids. No,
exactly.
But they couldn't fight back. And I just wonder if that's kind of what happened to Kevin, where he's just like, I there's nothing I can do, even though there absolutely was.
And yeah. And the thing is, this is just, go ahead.
In his mindset, he couldn't. He was just so far down. I don't know. I've seen kind of the downtrodden having been abused where it's like, why didn't you fucking do something? Well, because they couldn't. They just didn't have the strength, the mental capacity to pull it off until one day where they woke up and went, fuck this, I'm done. You know?
Everybody has their wake-up call at some point, and unfortunately, it happened very late for Kevin Frankie. But here's the deal. There are so many of these things going on in our country that get written off as, well, it's freedom of religion. They can do whatever they want. Look at the fucking Duggars. Look at the Independent Fundamentalist Baptists, the IFB, or their Institute of Basic Life Principles, the IBLP. This sort of shit exists everywhere. Now, are there versions of these things that are not abusive? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, some of them are pretty much fundamentally fucked up. But there are so many things that are run on the basis of this is our religion and we're going to abuse the shit out of people and there's nothing you can do to stop us because of our freedom of religion. This is not an isolated incident. As much as we like to think of it as this is like really weird and crazy, it is. But there's a lot of this shit going on. And these are the only ones who've been caught. We need to start taking a very close look at what we classify as religion, what we classify as cult, what we classify as abuse. Because there's a lot of it out there. And there's no just saying, oh, it's religion and it must be good. Because I'll guarantee you, a lot of the time, it's evil.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.